Good morning. Well, who in the world would want to put a piano in here? That's some great singing, I'll tell you. If I just came here just for nothing but to be uplifted, this would be enough. That singing, I'll tell you, it's some of my favorite songs. Our song leaders are getting better Sunday by Sunday, all of them. Well, you need to know, but when I was approached by the elders, all of a sudden all the things that Moses told the burning bush come to mind. I can't talk up here. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, they didn't use anything on fire or anything. They just walked up to me and started talking, you know. Said, hey, what do you think, you know? I said, oh, okay. So I chose apostasies to speak on today, and that was part of the Bible study this morning. But that's good. He didn't steal any of my thunder, you know. He didn't have any to start with. But anyway, the apostasies, we have them in the Bible, and it's interesting to note that we have them here with us, you know. Ever since the advent of cable TV and satellite TV that I subscribe to, and I'm sure many of you do, then there's a selection on there of all kinds of Christian this and Christian that. If you want to hear some apostasies, you just start going down through the list and listen to each one of them for about 15 minutes, and you'll have a whole host of apostasies to go by. But an apostasy, for instance, they all seem to believe in Jesus, you know, something like that, and that Jesus is the Son of God. So an apostasy comes down, and it's real close to the truth. And then they lead you away. And that's the dangerous part. I would stand up here and recommend that we all go through the apostates on the TV, but you know, that might be dangerous. We might lose some members. Well, as funny as it may seem, they have millions of followers. So, but I feel like it's safe for me. I've been here a number of years. Probably not going to change. But we find the writer here in Hebrews. He said, now Hebrews, remember, they are basically fully Jews, Israel. He said, do not harden your heart as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, which lasted 40 years. Because their hearts are always going astray. So, be encouraged daily by the things that we do. We come together here to encourage one another, which is, like I say, it's great that God wants us to sing hymns because that encourages me. And we talk to each other in hymns and songs. In 1 Timothy, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and allow deceiving spirits. And those things were taught by demons. Such comes from such hypocritical liars whose conscience has been seared with a branding iron. Now that's metaphorically. You know, we know what a branding iron is when they try to identify their cattle and everything. Well, all the cattle have to take a hot poker and make a design on there, Circle S Ranch or something like that, so that thieves can't, you know, claim them and things like that. And everybody knows who they are. So what he's saying then metaphorically is that's a hot poker. They seared the conscience to where they no longer, the scar tissue is, you can't talk them out of it. In other words, it's scarred over. Not only that, when you get several generations of a false teaching, pretty soon you have the graveyards full of people who believe that. and they may or may not have a good reputation. Many do have a good reputation. There's I have some really good friends that are apostates. They won't agree with my Christianity, but they're friendly to me, and we talk, and we have the same occupation and things of that nature. So it continues on for generations, because we honor those. Maybe our parents or anything like that. When we want to honor them, that's a commandment by God. And if they're into some other religion, so to speak, then they're still our parents. God gave us our parents, so we have to abide by that. So we have when so these Israelites, they came through all of that, and so some of the apostates, they forbid people to marry, you know, maybe to order to wear the starched collar and all of that, and they order them to abstain from certain foods, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving. I don't know, maybe fish on Friday, I don't know, something like that. So so part of that 40 years of rebellion there in the desert, Moses went up on the mountain. He was gone for quite a while. The mountain was rumbling, and the people was down there saying, Aaron, of course, is probably the next in line. They told him, let's take some of this gold we got here and let's build an idol and get us a new leader and get out of here. Well, that's what happened. They took the gold. They made him a golden calf. They worshipped it as if it were a god. And they went on to do meaningless things that an idol, a made-up religion would do. Their religion that they'd made around this idol was man-made, things they'd thought up. So when time to go, there were false prophets among them, just as there are false prophets today. Which brings me back to Solomon, back in Ecclesiastes 1:9. Solomon said, and he's done everything. His lamentation goes from 1 clear through about 15 there, about all the things he'd done in Ecclesiastes and seen and studied and how worthless they was. And this seems to sum it up a little for me. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. So what it means is that everything just keeps revolving along. And, you know, your bad things will come back to you. Your good things will come back to you. But through it all, man is so much alike that it'll all come back. And certain things, when they come back like that, we have to look out for, because we have to work out our own salvation with God. I was approached a few weeks ago in conversation. The young man seemingly wanted to know more about why we didn't have a musical instrument. And so as I leaned forward to explain something about the scriptures, he leaned forward to me and said, did you know that Satan, before creation, had spikes in his chest, horns on his head, and blah, blah, blah. I don't know how many other things. And I politely said no. But he didn't know either. You know, but it's like he'd been schooled in the campaigning for apostate churches, and immediately when he asked a question to somebody who was attempting to deal with the scriptures, he wanted to set up a superiority where he had a higher chair than you to start with. And that way, you can sort it out as you will. And this will give him the upper chair. Well, we got into the scripture, and if I had it to do over again, I would handle that differently. You know, I politely said no, and hopefully we'd move on. But I would do it differently. I would say, first of all, let's set up the structure of the church. Let's find out what the church is, because we're starting with a weekend here. There's very little said about musical instruments, as we many of us know, and we have people that use them. I think maybe two or three times in the Old Testament, perhaps. There's a mention of a harp and a lyre around the David's time, but no real scripture or commandment that says we can or we can't. On the safe side, I would say, since there's so little said about it, that we can't. So we would be safe to say we can't. Let's say that. So, and with the one who said, when he said, speak to one another in songs and hymns, making melody in your hearts, that's singing, you know. Songs and hymns speak to us. You know, as we read the words, and it is better than just listening to an instrumental thing, you know. We're talking to one another, we're forming the words. So, if I had it to do again, I would try to demonstrate for him through the scriptures how we don't have a lot of wiggle room in a lot of these things. You take Nahab and Abihu. They were Aaron's nephews. They were given the task of putting incense in the temple altar. And these young men went to the altar. And for some reason, I didn't either study it enough, or maybe it's not really available, but they brought a different kind of incense. He was only allowed one incense on that altar, and they brought something else, and they put it up there. They dropped dead before they got out of that temple. So, and that was the reason. Now, Moses and Aaron were both there to watch this. And Moses turned to Aaron and he says, don't you do anything to grieve. You don't mess your hair up. You don't wrinkle your clothes. He says, if you do, you'll be just as dead as they are. Now, I'll carry you out of here. So they obeyed. It's not what God wanted. He didn't want to play it around with. Well, that's an example in itself, a very good example. Well, let's fast forward to the New Testament, see if God changed. You have Ananias and Sapphira, hundreds of years later. And the church was growing. They needed contributions for the missionary journeys. And so what happened was, Ananias and Sapphira were well blessed. They had some land. They had a parcel of land here, a parcel of land there. And they decided, well, we'll sell a parcel of land and we'll give some of it to the church. It's probably a substantial contribution, you know, and honorable. But what they said was, what they told the apostles, we sold this parcel of land and we gave you all of it. So what happened then was, when Ananias gave him the money and told the story, he fell dead. They carried him out. 3 hours later, they brought his wife in. She didn't know anything about it, but what had happened 3 hours ago. The body was taken out, and so they ask her the same question. How much money did you give? He said, all of it. She fell dead. They took her out. So over those hundreds of years of what God wants to hear, what a lie is, what an apostasy is, why, God's attitude's no different, is it? I don't think so. I can't see any difference. So as we make these decisions, as we go through life and make these decisions, then we've got to look at it and put it all back together. We were blessed, to whom much is given, much is required. Well, look at what we've been given. I'm not just talking about this church here. That's great. That's wonderful. The people here that make good melodies, the voice, they sing good. We're able to maintain this place. We're able to do some outreach. And we need the truth spoken up here and down there. You know, I'm always glad to make that kind of conversation with somebody. I don't know if I inspire it or if I'm a good conversant or not, but I enjoy church work, and so if you look at other things about the church, you know, I would describe it to someone like that. I would tell them that I'd tell them there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is in all, through all, and in all, in one hope of your calling. Well, the hope of your calling is a church. And all of those things are involved in that church. So as these, we need to protect all of these beliefs through our faith. We need to when we talk and if somebody wants to start out on one thing or another, and another thing was the communion was, you know, you take that every week. Oh, for Pete's sakes, you know. Well, you know, you can go in that, those things will start conversations, and you don't want to just jump on them and, you know, and mix it up right away. Probably I wouldn't. You might. I don't know. But anyway, I'd like to point out those things where there's one of, and how much tolerance you have for those things. I think the greater thing of it, our blessing, is our entire nation has up till now been very. We even have tax deductions for giving to the church. I mean, how much more of a blessing can that be, you know? Because Israel and Judah was split on account of high taxes. So we live in a country to where if you give enough, why, you can turn in and get a tax refund for, you know, for charitable contributions, and Christians included. So this is a large blessing. I'm glad that I don't have somebody waiting to take me out of here to jail because I've been up here speaking. But it just might happen according to the scriptures, you know, any given day. Not probably not today, yes. But that's what the scriptures describe for us. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches, he was in jail, you know, a bigger share of them, called the epistles. So we have these blessings, and like I say, to whom much is given, much is required. And so when we get a chance, we need to espouse the word, just like I am now and so many before me. There's been some great auditors up here, you know what? And sometimes I don't even get around to saying, hey, that was great. Thanks a lot, you know. But Well, anyway, we have here these blessings. I'm about to close this now, and what I'm wanting to do is that if you want to take a hold of these blessings, you want to be in that church where there's one Lord, faith, baptism, God and Father, one hope. With that, you're automatically added to the saved. And so that's required by baptism. It's required, let's say you're you've fallen away, coming back, that requires restoration. You'll need prayers of the congregation. You'll need to get your blessings back, you know. And we'd be glad to help you with that as we stand and sing this song.